Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people who are established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing word. Here now is Lynn York with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
So, with our foundational scripture, make your way to the Lord, trust also in Him. Today, we're going to be talking about trusting God. And when Pastor Fred asked me to speak, one of the first things that came to my mind was a psychology class back now, some years ago, and the cobwebs in my mind came back. How many of you have ever taken psychology? Maybe in high school, maybe in college. So you may remember, there's a couple men that I remember from psychology, and this man is one of them. His name is Erickson, and he talked about psychosocial development. And so when I was thinking about trusting God, this came to my mind about his very first stage that he talks about. And so as I talk about it, we're going to kind of talk about it, how he shares from a human perspective. But then I want our minds to kind of think, wow, this is development for God. Trust versus mistrust. So this is this stage of development starts at birth to 18 months old. And it's the most important stage, which shapes their view, our view of the world and our personality. Trust is dependent on their caregivers. How parents interact directly affects physical and mental health. Erickson believed that early patterns of trust help children build a strong base of trust that's crucial for their social and emotional development. If a child develops trust, they will feel safe and secure in the world. And I want to stop right there because we know that our world isn't safe. But if you think about a baby to an 18-month-old, they have no clue about Ukraine, what's going on in Russia. You know, that's all they know is the here and now. And as we even talked about on Wednesday, you know, anything that can be shaken will be shaken, but God's kingdom cannot be shaken. So we can feel safe within God's kingdom. And He wants us to feel safe and secure in Him and in His ways. That may not be true on the earth, but in His kingdom, that is true. Trust also is children believing their caregivers. And I think about that for our God. He wants us to believe Him. He is a good, good Father. So whatever we've experienced in life, whether it's been through our upbringing, maybe things that have happened to us, He wants to reshape that. He wants to start over with that good foundational. He wants us to trust Him and to believe Him. And knowing that needs are met, God wants to meet our daily needs. Give us this day our daily bread. That's what He wants, and He will do that just like a good shepherd will. But mistrust is distrust in caregivers. And you know, I used to work in early intervention, so I worked with the population that was birthed to 3 years of age, and I saw that. I saw little ones that had already experienced neglect, and I could see how already they're so little, but all those things that have already been sowed into their heart. But praise Jesus that He can break all of that. He can break whatever has been done within us. The worst thing, He can break that and bring healing and impact into our lives. Also, with mistrust comes a fear of the world and then being unsure of how our needs will be met. How to build trust, Erickson said, was through communication. And man, that's good. We're going to talk about that later. Communication is so important, and that God has made us to communicate. It's also giving your child affection. You think about a crying baby, you know, that crying baby, you're going to pick up that baby, you're going to comfort that baby. Well, guess what? We're still God's children, and he wants to comfort us no matter what our age is. He is our comforter. He wants to give us affection, and like I said, food. So God wants to provide for our physical needs, but he also wants to provide for our spiritual needs. That spiritual food that nourishes our soul, he wants to provide that. So going back to that top part there, what I shared, how important it is, our view is, and that's where I'm going to start, is how do we view God? And I remember hearing, this is back in college, that was a young man passionate about sharing Jesus with people, just such a passion. And he would love to engage people that are maybe agnostic, atheist, who say they don't know if God exists or they're totally against God. And he was like, can you please tell me what you believe about God? Because I bet I don't believe in him either. And I thought that was profound. Our view shapes, if we really know the goodness of our God, our hearts are wanting to believe him. I really believe that our soul just craves to know who God really is, and that truly is his goodness. So we're going to first start, if you've brought your Bibles, we're going to start and talk about some attributes of God. And as we flip to Psalm 18:2, I just want to remind you that God is love, that is his character, you know, so as we start that, and again, that's our Heavenly Father. You know, may we honor our Heavenly Father too today in Father's Day. But in Psalm 18:1, it says, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock, in whom I trust. My shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. And really this year, it's kind of funny. You would think, well, of course, a rock. But I've really been stopping to ponder about a rock. So if you've ever been to Tawawa Park, you've probably seen the big rock there. And then who knows how long that big rock has been there. It's been a long time. It's seen a lot of stuff. It's still there. It's weathered. Being little, I'm sharing my age, I remember tornado warnings in Sydney. That rock is still there. It's weathered the storms. You can stand on it. You know, the heaviest man could stand on it, you know. But there's something to be said about a rock. And, you know, you could even have a huge tree, a big diameter base of a trunk that is going to fall. It's not going to be able to withstand. But a rock, there's something about the strength of a rock. And so David is saying, the Lord is my rock and my fortress. And I had to pull up, you know, I kind of have a, you know, vague idea of a fortress. You know, what really is a fortress? We may have people out there that really like medieval times. But to think about what a fortress looks like, I encourage you to go look up a fortress. But the definition is a military stronghold. A person or thing not susceptible to outside influence or disturbances. And I love that, to think that God wants to be our fortress. It's a protection. We are in a war. You know, there are spiritual forces out there of darkness, but that God is our fortress. He wants to protect us. In whom I trust. And trust right there means to flee for protection, to confide in, have hope. And to make refuge, which is the condition of being safe or sheltered from pursuit, danger, or trouble. So that's a question that I want to ask you today is, where do you put your trust? That's something even as a believer that God will continue to refine us in. We may not even know those areas. You know, I think about Peter of being like, Lord, you know, I will never deny you. You know, but sometimes we can even say that, like, I'm going to trust you, God. I'm going to trust you. But then you come into a new situation that you've never experienced before, and that's when the rubber hits the road. But God is there for us, and that's why he wants us, though, to continue to come to him. He is the safe one for us. Our circumstances may not be, but he is a good, good God. I'm also going to talk about just some attributes. I feel like lately the Lord just been putting on my mind his majesty, you know, and there's such a beauty in thinking about that God is king, you know, and I think that's where it's so beautiful too in his kingdom, that sin has come into the world and it's tainted, but Jesus has taken away the sin of the world. Hallelujah. Even before, as we've been talking about in Bible study on Wednesdays that Pastor Fred shared, you know, before the foundation of the world, Jesus was slain, that God has made provision, everything. And so that's what's beautiful. I'm drawn to his kingdom. I'm thankful for his kingdom where there is no sin. And his majesty, he's a good ruler. He's a good king. And he wants us to know that. So if we turn to 1 Timothy, we're going to talk about 1 Timothy 6:15 through 16. And my version is just a little bit different. It says, which he will bring about at the proper time. He who is the true, blessed, and only sovereign, the King of kings and the Lord of lords, who alone possesses immortality and dwells in inapproachable light, whom no man has seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. That word blessed means supremely blessed. And sovereign means a ruler of great authority. And we honor him, we value and esteem him of highest degree. I love how then in verse 16 that it says, who alone possesses immortality. And immortality means deathlessness. No one else. We have souls, and those are eternal souls. And thankfully, through Jesus Christ, we have eternal hope for our souls. But him alone, no one else possesses deathlessness, but our God possesses that. And I love to picture that, and dwells in inapproachable light. There's such a beautiful thing when we just think about his unapproachable light. Then if you will go ahead and flip to Psalm 145, and this is a beautiful psalm. Our two oldest boys were here last night, and I was giving the example. This is a great psalm just to stop and to meditate. We've heard Pastor Fred preach about it, you know, means to chew cud. So right now we've got two teenage boys who love to chow down. I'm talking chow down quickly. And, you know, so then in contrast, I want you to think about a cow. Picture a cow in your mind, you know, this deliberate chewing down, you know, it goes on to talk about digestion. But this is a beautiful psalm that sometimes I feel like we can read and then we don't let it penetrate our minds. You know, it says that the word richly dwells in us. And this is just a psalm to do that. So we're going to go ahead and start in verse 3. And it says, great is the Lord and highly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Just stop and think about that. His greatness is unsearchable. You know, we can't really fathom that. You know, I didn't live in the day of gold miners, but, you know, they were searching time and time, you know, for pieces of gold, and then it's a treasure, you know, but God, his greatness is unsearchable. We'll never fathom it completely. It's beautiful and it's huge. One generation shall praise thy works to another and shall declare thy mighty acts. If you've been coming on Wednesdays, and if you haven't, I encourage you to come. That's what testimonies are about. We get to hear, I get so excited, God's mighty acts. He is living and active. This wasn't for the time just, you know, in the New Testament, in the Old Testament. God is alive and well now. And we get to speak that, and it encourages us, and we get to speak of those mighty acts and declare them. On the glorious splendor of thy majesty and on thy wonderful works I will meditate. That's such a good way to renew your mind. You know, there's so much negativity out there. We can get stuck on that. But God wants us to meditate on all of his wonderful works. And men shall speak of the power of thine awesome acts, and I will tell of thy greatness. They shall eagerly utter the memory of thine abundant goodness. You know, God could have just put goodness. You know, this is a Psalm of David. He could have just said, you know, the memory of your goodness. But he's so intentional in those words, abundant goodness. Think of that word, abundance. and shall shout joyfully of thy righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and great in loving kindness. There's one more verse that I'm going to share, again, just about God's character, which is in Revelation 19. And we're going to start in verse 5 and go to 16. And it says, and a voice came from the throne saying, give praise to our God and all you bondservants, you who fear him, the small and the great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude and the sound of many waters, and as the sound of mighty peals of thunder, saying, hallelujah, for the Lord our God, the Almighty, reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give the glory to him. For the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. And that's us, we're his bride. And it was given to her to clothe herself in fine linen, bright and clean. For the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are true words of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat upon it is faithful and true. And look at that, that's capitalized. That is who Jesus is. He is faithful and true. That's his name. And in righteousness, he judges and wages war. And his eyes are a flame of fire, and upon his head are many diadems. And he has a name written upon him, which no one knows except himself. And he is clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, were following him on white horses. And from his mouth comes a sharp sword, so that with it he may smite the nations, and he will rule them with a rod of iron. And he treads the winepress of the fierce wrath of God the Almighty. And on his robe and on his thigh he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I love that. Just so, so powerful. And you know, I think in those times we have to renew our minds of who God's character is and who he is. If we don't, there's going to be some contaminants that come upon us. And so, you know, just as Ephesians 5:26 talks about being washed in the water of his word, you know, it made me think 2 weeks ago, Carson was helping with the mulch. He's our oldest at our house. And if you've ever worked with mulch, you know, black stained mulch, your hands are going to get pretty filthy, you know. And so there he was. And I'm like, it's amazing what some water and some soap will do. You know, get that clean. And I tell you what, I just had this vision just of our minds, you know, and that our minds can be washed in the word. You know, when those contaminants want to get on us, whether it's contaminants from ourselves, our sin, whether it's somebody else's sin, whether it's how we're viewing the world, how we're viewing the world, we need to wash our minds. And I love to see that. Can you see that? That bubbling, just washing your mind in his word to get it renewed. Because I can tell you what, no matter how well you think you smell, in 2 weeks, if we didn't take a shower, I bet we'd all be stinking. And we don't want that stinking thinking. We all need to renew our minds and to put our trust in his word. The word of the Lord stands forever. Things in this world are going to pass away, but God's word is not. And even it doesn't matter our feelings. We may not be feeling it, but there's power when we still speak it, despite what we are feeling. There's such power in that. So cling to that. Cling to his word when you don't feel like it. So, all right, so now we're going to talk about communication. And I think we all are different communicators. Some of us maybe like to talk all the time, and some of us are more quiet, you know, in how we process things. But God, do you remember kind of Eric Erickson talking about one way to build trust is communication? And that's a two-way thing. Our Father, the Lord himself, speaks to us. We can know his voice. Jesus says that. You know, if we're his sheep, we're going to know his voice. That's something that I want us all to desire within us, is to know his voice. And so that's good. So that's where that communication piece comes. But when trials come, how do we respond? So that can be something that you can ask yourself. You know, how do I tend to respond, you know, when a trial comes? But God wants us to respond with trust. So let's turn to Jeremiah. We're going to go to Jeremiah 17. And we're going to start in verse 5, and it says, "Thus says the Lord, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength." And I'm going to stop right there because I think a lot of us can do that. Ryan kind of talked about that as we worshiped. You know, we all at times want to rely on our own strength, but man, God is making it pretty clear. "Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength and whose heart turns away from the Lord." Recently, back in my, maybe, and it wasn't within this church, maybe in my mid-20s, I was part of a Bible study further south, and I love this Bible study. Like, we dug in the Word. It was led by a guy and a gal, and later that gal got married to another guy within our small group, and I even got to go to South Dakota with them and went on a mission trip and just really loved spending time with them. Well, they moved to Colorado. You know, you kind of lose ways with people. And just within this last year, I ran into her mom. I live in Troy, and I had met her mom before. And we started talking, and she said, "Lynn, they have fallen away from the Lord." And that hurt my heart bad. You know, just thinking that these are people I served with. These were people that loved the Word. Like, what happened? Something happened. I don't know what happened, but it's one of those where their heart turned away. And that's something that I never want to say that. It's almost like, Lord, help my heart. But, you know, that's something that I want to pray for. Like, I don't want my heart ever to fall away from you. You know, we don't know what's coming ahead at times, but we just ask for grace that our heart stays with the Lord. It goes on to say, "For he will be like a bush in the desert, and he will not see when prosperity comes, but will live in stony wastes in the wilderness, a land of salt without inhabitant. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose trust is the Lord." And this is such a, I want you to picture this within your minds. "For he will be like a tree planted by the water that extends its roots by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes. But its leaves will be green, and it will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit." That word there, blessed, means to kneel. You know, and that instantly made me think about this series that we've been in with committing. Like, one of the words for commit is to roll off our burdens. And Pastor Fred gave us that image of the camel kneeling to roll it off. So again, that pictures that I thought of that kneeling. But kneeling also is to bless God out of adoration. You know, I love how it goes on to say that there was a year of drought. And at times we see that in the Word, and that's true of some of our lives. There may be a trial that lasts for years. And if that's the case, we need to go deep. We need to go deep into the living water that the Lord gives us. Because it's only his water that's going to give us that, what we need to produce fruit in a year of drought. And those blessings come when we trust. Again, we may not be able to see it, but if we continue to declare his promises, fruit will come. You know, also earlier in that verse, it talks about, you know, cursed is the man who trusts in mankind. And God convicted me because I was thinking of that verse from Proverbs that says, "Trust the Lord with all of your heart and lean not on your own understanding." And man, I was thinking, man, leaning on my own understanding, that's trusting in my flesh. And how often I am guilty of that. I lean on my own understanding in many, many things. But it's God's wisdom. That's what we need. Just within the last couple months, there was something that was going on, and there was conflict. And I prayed. I was like, Lord, I need wisdom. I didn't know how to handle that situation. He gave me bullseye wisdom. That was not of me. I didn't know how to respond. But he gave me bullseye wisdom, and that deflated that. That deflated that conflict, and there was his sweet presence was there. If you've ever heard me speak, you've also heard me share this story, but I always think of it because it's upside down thinking. And so this was years ago at my very first job. I worked with a lady. I didn't know her well, but I just observed she didn't really have maybe a strong social support network system, and I knew that she was very close with her mom. And she lived with her mom, and then her mom had passed away. And so my heart was going out to this woman. So I wanted to somehow show her that, you know, some comfort or care. And so I went into Walmart. I don't think I really had a clue of what I was going to buy her, but I'm just kind of looking around. And the Lord gave me a vision of a teddy bear. And there are two classes of women. There are teddy bear women. Can you think of a woman that you're like, I think she's a teddy bear woman? And then I want you to think of a woman that you're like, she is not a teddy bear woman. This is not a teddy bear woman. So I was like, okay, you know, but God would not let me stop thinking about it. He just kept putting that on my heart, a teddy bear. So I said, okay. So I bought a teddy bear, and I brought it home, and I just wrote her a little poem, something to the effect of like, you know, I bought this bear to show you that I care, but I definitely did not want her to know it was from me, because I felt foolish. And so I did that. I got to work early. I wanted to put it in the office workroom, you know, deliver it like a quiet mouse, and then run. So I was like, so I get into my office, and I was like, oh, no, here's my office mate. You know, I was like, I didn't want anybody to see me doing this. And so I was like, please don't tell her that I'm the one. And not really for anonymous sakes, but I really just felt foolish. And so she's like, I won't tell her, Lynn. So she walked with me. I dropped off the teddy bear, and I left. I was like, okay, I'm done. And then later that day, my office mate said, Lynn, I always get weepy with this. She said, Lynn, I came into the office and she said her mom loved teddy bears. At her funeral, there were hundreds of teddy bears. Wow. God, you knew. God knows. He knows far beyond. My understanding was, this is not a teddy bear woman. But he knew, and in his goodness and his kindness, he wanted to show that lady, I love you. And even through me, I was humbled. Lord, you know your ways are higher than my ways. My understanding is not your understanding, but he knows, and he's good, and he's trustworthy. So, and through that, God gives us as well just divine encouragement. You know, I've been walking with the Lord for a while. I gave my heart to the Lord at a VBS, so praise God for VBS coming up. But you know, I've been walking with God for a while, and you go through different trials. But things that help me trust the Lord through the trials, because sometimes you don't see anything in your trial, you know, but God at times will give you divine encouragement as well. And I love his divine encouragement. Again, it goes back to that comfort that we talked about. Our God is a good God, and he knows and he sees us. So I got married a little bit later. I was in my close to more of my mid-30s. And after I got married, my husband here, Kenny, most of you probably know him. Shortly after that, maybe within 2 months, we got pregnant with a major awe. I was like, oh, wow, Lord, this is so amazing. You know, and so 4 weeks later, I went to my normal appointment, but there was no heartbeat. And at that time, unbeknownst to me, I thought I was just reading Job, you know, to study. But God will teach us as well through his word. And there's a verse that I still don't really have full comprehension, but Job says, though he slay me or put to death, yet I will trust him. Even when it's super, super hard, God wants us to trust him. And that word trust means to wait, to be patient, and to hope.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio, 45365. Our service times are Saturday evening at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.